Thank you for showing up this morning for worship and praise. Now, for this morning, let's just get this straight. We're not reinventing the wheel this morning. No one's going to win a Nobel Prize for what we're about to do. There's no laser beams involved or fog machines or no goggles required unless you're just an aggressive page flipper in your Bible. But something perhaps that might challenge us a little, inspire you a bit, and maybe even equip you to live your life like you mean it for Jesus. Because that's what matters anyway, is Jesus, Jesus. You hear that, demons? Jesus, Jesus, the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, the bright and morning star. Emmanuel is who we serve and who we worship and who we lead our lives. So dust off your Bible or scroll like your soul depends on it and turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. That's right, Deuteronomy. Can anything good come out of Deuteronomy? Way back there. And also, if you like, Deuteronomy 32 and Job 10. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and Job chapter 29. I'm sorry, I said the wrong verse. Job 29. And well, let's see just what happens when ordinary folks show up and God decides to flip the script. If perhaps you've got a testimony within you that you just need to share to the church body, then don't hold back or grieve the Spirit. Let that come forth. Last week, Pastor Adam told us a story, not just any story, but a real boots-on-the-ground, rip-off-the-roof kind of story from Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. He talked about four guys with calloused hands and a stubborn hope that carried their buddy who couldn't walk to Jesus. And he didn't let a jam-packed house slow them down. Nope. They climbed up, they made their own entrance, and they lowered him right down into the middle of a miracle. Why? Because when desperation meets faith, you don't wait in line. You act on it. You find a way. And that's not just a good story we read about in the Bible. That's a gut check. And he brought out the point, was it what they did, was it a burden or was it a blessing? You see, this wasn't about just four pals doing a good deed. It was a test. It was a test of character, of heart, and of grit. And so in that story, he challenged us, where do we see ourselves? Or are we the Pharisees with our arms crossed and just ready to criticize what they were doing? Or is it part of the crowd perhaps we're in where we're just taking up space and snapping pics for our social media but really doing nothing to help out the situation? Or maybe you may be one of those friends with dirty hands and aching shoulders and just refusing to quit until their brother sees the face of God. And then maybe, just maybe, you might be the guy on your mat, flat on your back, out of options, hoping someone, somewhere, still believes in spiritual healing. But here's the truth, and don't miss it. Spiritual blessings come dressed like burdens. And when God says, arise, it's not a suggestion. It's a call to move, no matter who or what is in the way. And what we saw last week, it wasn't polite faith. It was relentless faith. A faith that climbs and rips and lowers with precision and purpose. Faith that gets the job done. And so now we turn the spotlight on us. Are we willing to carry someone else's weight? To cut through the chaos and to make room for hope? Well, let me tell you, church family, you may be shaken today, but listen to me. You are not forsaken. And breakthrough doesn't always come in neat, tidy moments. Sometimes it starts with a mess on the roof. And so this morning, let's just lean in, church, because God's got something for Him to say to you and I, and we don't want to miss it. So to start things off, let's shout out loud and proud with me this morning. Psalms 150, verse 6. Let everything that has breath. Amen. That's where it starts off. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we gather before you two this morning with hearts that have known just tremors of fear, of loss and uncertainty. But yet we stand firm in our faith and we're never alone. Even though the world may shake around us, your promises are unshakable. Through the trials come like storms, but yet your love still anchors us. And so, Lord, just meet us in this moment. Just calm the chaos within our minds. And still the restlessness in our spirits and open our hearts that we may hear from you as we lean into your word today. Remind us that even in the seasons of shaking that we go through, we're not forsaken. We're chosen. We're held. We're carried by you, Father. So anoint this time. Anoint every ear to receive what you have prepared. And let your presence just fill this place so powerful and so tender that no heart leaves here today untouched. In the unshakable name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, as I said before, if you have your Bibles handy, crack it open to Deuteronomy chapter 32. We'll go and start at verse 10. It says, he found him in a desert land in the howling waste of the wilderness. In other words, rock bottom, dry, barren. Echoes bouncing off of the canyon walls. But even there, especially there, God showed up. And he encircled him. And he guarded him as the apple of his eye, or the focus of his eye, depending on which translation, or the pupil of his eye. Aren't you glad that even in our wilderness, even when our grip on reality starts slipping, God doesn't stand back and see how we're going to handle it, what we do. He steps in and he surrounds us and he keeps us where we couldn't keep ourselves. I mean, when your brain was about to tap out and when your heart was just seems like fraying at the seams of what's going on in your life, he's still holding you together with your faith. It says he guarded him as the pupil of his eye. That's not just poetic stuff. I mean, that's deep care. That's precision protection that God has for us. Then comes verse 11. It shifts. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that hovers over its young. He spread his wings and he caught them and he carried them out on his pinions. Now, pinions, those are the strongest feathers that are on a wing. Look at verse 12. The Lord alone guided him. There's no backseat drivers here. There's no false gods in the passenger seat. There's just him. And then in verse 13, he made him ride on the high places. That's elevation. It gave him a perspective of things. And it says, he ate the produce of the field, honey from the rock and oil from the flinty stone. But don't miss this pattern here, because first comes the stirring. And then comes the soaring. First, the nest is disrupted. And then the heights are discovered. So I want to talk to you this morning about what Moses saw whenever he looked up in the sky and wrote this down. It's a message to his people, the Israelites. It's a message for us today. And if I had to put a title on it, it would be Shaken But Not Forsaken. Now, if you want to flip over to Job for a moment, Job chapter 29, if you'll flip over there, Job gets real with us. He starts to reminisce back when he says life made sense, that whole chapter talks about him recanting things. When the house was full and the bank account wasn't empty and his body didn't ache every morning, he said, back then I was in my prime. God's favor lit up my tent. Everything I touched seemed to turn to gold. And then he says, chapter 29, verse 18, Job says, then I thought, I'll just die in my nest. I'll multiply my days like the sand. In other words, this is life, right? I'm just going to ride out this thing in comfort. But God heard that. And God said, all right, Job, I'm going to show you what it means to be shaken but not forsaken. Job thought he could stay nestled in his nest forever, but God had something higher for Job. Job wasn't wrong about the nest. I mean, the nest is comfortable. It's cozy. It's secure. And that's why birds build nests. But it was never meant to be permanent. And Moses, way back in the wilderness, saw this play out in nature. He looked up, maybe he was from a ledge or maybe through the brush, and he saw a mother eagle up there rustling the nest. Eaglets were in there chirping and flapping and squirming as she starts nudging them closer to the edge. And Moses grabs a pen or whatever they used to write back then, and he writes down and says, as an eagle stirs up the nest, so does God with his people. Now, let me tell you something fascinating about eagles and the way Mama Eagle picks her man. She's not just picking someone who looks good. Male eagle with lots of plumage and strong qualities about him. She's testing. She's vetting the right guy for her eaglets. And she starts with a stick. She flies up way up about 15,000 feet in the air. That's very high. And then she drops it. And then here comes Mr. Eagle looking sharp, trying to impress her. But she's not here for small talk. She wants action. And he sees that stick falling through the air, and then something clicks in him. Oh, she's testing me. So he dives fast. Those eagles can fly over and dive over 200 miles per hour. Snatches that stick in the midair. She flies back down. She grabs a bigger stick. Same drill. This time she flies a little lower, 5,000 feet. She drops the stick. Well, he's sweating now. The stick's heavier. His wings are beginning to work overtime, but he catches it. And then she grabs a log, not a big log, but a tree branch, whole limb tree, and drops it from about 500 feet this time. And he's got one shot. He's got one dive, and he dives down there, and he catches it. But now he's fighting gravity with everything that he has, claws gripping, talons just burning, holding on to that limb. But he does it. And so what's the point? What's the takeaway here? Well, one, men will learn that it's impossible to please a woman. Okay, I'm joking, sort of. That's not today's sermon. But here's the truth. Lean in for this one. The mother is stirring the nest, but the father is circling above, and he's watching, and he's ready. And she needs to know before she kicks those baby eaglets out that he is strong enough to catch them when they fall. And if you feel like the bottom's dropped out and like you're tumbling just head first in hard places that's falling down, I want you to know today that there is a father, your father, that can fly faster than you can fall. You might feel shaken, but you're not forsaken. You might be falling, but you're not going to crash. Because the same God who stirred up your comfort zone is the same one who's circling high above, circling around and watching you. And that's the issue that Moses saw in his congregation. They got into their comfortable nest, the nesting syndrome, if you want to call it something. It's when we get so settled and we get so cozy and so content that we stop climbing and we stop growing in our life with Christ. We think, I'll just kick back. But that's not good enough. Maybe you've seen an eagle's nest before. I don't know. Maybe you've been to Alaska on them cruises. Or maybe even you went to Canada. Those nests are big old things. I mean, it's not your average barnyard birdhouse or backyard birdhouse. They're massive from the pictures that I've seen. I've never been up to Alaska or Canada, but I've just seen pictures of them. I mean, they've got twigs in those nests the size of broom handles. But they're up really high. They're above the noise and the nonsense. And here's the thing. God will sometimes bust up that nest. Sounds cruel, right? But it's not. Sometimes the most painful things turn out to be the most beneficial. That sounds like an oxymoron, but that's what God's kingdom is about. Turning things upside down from what's normal here on earth. Sometimes the most painful things turn out to be the most beneficial. And if you don't learn that, then you'll end up misjudging the whole thing that God's trying to do and show us. You'll think that the Father's cruel, that He's out to get you, when really He's just calling you to a higher, higher place in the kingdom. But before He lifts you up, He's got to shake you loose. And that shaking, it's not casual. It'll rattle your comfort. It'll shake your security. It'll mess with the routine of the way you like to do things. And let's be honest, there's some Christians with folded wings who don't want to take any risk, no change, no challenge. They just want comfort in their life. They want blessings. They want a cruise ship version of Christianity. Smooth sailing, good views, a predictable schedule that they can follow. But church family, we have been called higher and higher, not just to exist, but to elevate into the goodness of God. You weren't just born to make house payments. Our life shouldn't be consist of trying to get our car paid off. Or the perfectly trimmed little nest and tidying things up and making sure that maybe we'll get yard of the week. I don't know. But life just shouldn't consist of all that stuff. Nothing wrong with those things at all. But don't confuse the blessings with the purpose that God has in mind. Because the moment that nest gets disturbed, that's when destiny shows up. That's when God's stuff starts happening. I mean, let's face it. Eaglets will not fly until the fluff's been pulled out of that nest. Until those sharp sticks starts to poke them and it gets uncomfortable. And I believe God does the same thing with us in our lives. Not to be mean. Not to be mean by all means. But to awaken up our wings that we didn't know we had, spiritually speaking. And let's face it, some of us only pray when the sticks start poking us in the nest. When life's cozy, we don't crack open the Bible. We don't seek anything of what God has in our lives. We just seem to coast along. We've kind of got this and say, I'm self-made. I've been blessed by God. I've got this. But then, oops, life happens. The wind shifts. When the job disappears. When the relationships break and you realize how badly that you need the Father. That's life. And in that moment, you learn that you may be shaken, but you're not forsaken by the Father. telling you from this experience. I'm talking from experience. Your pastor is telling you. Most of you know I lost my job earlier this year in January. 29 years of comfort. At that time, it felt like the nest exploded when they said, you are no longer needed. Thank you for your service. Felt like our nest was exploded. But looking back, if that had not happened, I would not be standing here today ministering to some of the most overlooked, forgotten people on earth. The elderly. The dying. Church, there's a blessing in the busted nest. See, the female eagle doesn't just dismantle the nest to tear it all apart. She just takes out the padding in it. Out comes the fur that she's collected to make in the nest. Out comes the hide to protect the eaglets. And suddenly now those little eaglets are getting stuck with sticks. And they don't even realize that they've got wings, that they've got talons. And the same is with us, church. You won't find your gifts in your comfort zone. You just won't. But when things get rough, when the job ends, the bank account dries up, and the relationships begin to fall apart, that's when you discover what you're really made of. Because now those eaglets, they're grabbing onto those sticks for the very first time in that nest that's making them uncomfortable. And they begin to stand. And before you know it, they learn to fly, because you've got to stand before you can fly, and stand for something, for truth, for integrity, for character in your life with Christ, to stand for the Word of God. And even when it's not popular, even when you may have to stand alone in that area, because if you don't stand for something, then you'll fall for anything, as Martin Luther King said. And you were made to fly. You weren't made to, I got baptized back in 1953, and in 1973 we gave a big special love offering, and you spend the rest of your life in a spiritual recliner. That's religion's nest, not God's. And flying, it's messy, it's awkward, you're going to tumble a couple of times. You might look foolish. Now, are you willing to look foolish? Or are you just going to stay cozy and till the end? We don't know how this VBS is going to turn out. We may only have 6 kids. We don't know. But someone's willing to fly to give it a start. We may only have 6 people show up for community food service. Someone was willing to fly. I mean, some won't even take the chance to do anything. Won't say yes to a challenge, won't step out, because comfort has become your cage. So here's some advice. Get out of your nest. If you're lonely, go where some people are. Get in a circle, smile, nod, fake it till you make it. And yes, there's always going to be those folks around who criticize you from the safety of their own little nests. But listen, it's better to fail trying to fly than to sit in the nest and die. Let's say that one more time. It's better to fail trying to fly than to sit in the nest and die. Take the risk. Use your wings. Step into the wind. Life's not just about paying bills and then coasting to the grave and waiting for that glory train to come and take me to home. But you've got to say in your spirit, Lord, I'm coming higher. I'm ready for the wind. Take me to where I belong. You know, chickens flap their wings, but eagles don't. Eagles hover. The text in Deuteronomy said the eagle hovered, not flapped. That's important. because what the mother eagle does is she starts to circle at first, and then she gets the wind underneath her wings, and the circle grows, and she gets the heat rising and the thermal wind, and the wind basically takes her higher and higher, so she doesn't have to flap her wings to try to get way up there. And that's what happens when you and I learn to wait on the Lord. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord." You have a lot of weary children of God, believers, Christians, disciples out there who are tired. Why? Because they're trying to flap their own wings, getting higher and higher in their life and their walk with Christ. And they're getting tired when they have to learn to soar by the Holy Spirit, by the anointing of God that He has placed in you the moment you became a child of God, repented of your sins, and asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart. And like in the upper room, the wind of the Spirit comes. And if you'll just seek it, that same wind that the mother eagle uses to rise higher, it will carry you. Your influence will grow. Your strength will start to rise. Not because you're great and you're talented and what all you do. It's because the Spirit of God is within you and wants you to rise higher. As the worship team makes their way to the stage, I want to go back to Job for a moment. He had it all. He had wealth. He had status. He had family. He had comfort. And then he said in Job 29:18, "I will die in my nest." God heard that, said, "Nope, that's not your story." Because settling, when you choose to settle, that gets God's attention. He sees that spiritual laziness in our lives, and he says, "I'll just stir that nest myself. If you won't fly, then I'm going to make it so uncomfortable that you have to fly." Isaiah chapter 41, that's why that scripture is in there by the prophet Isaiah. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles." It doesn't say they shall start flapping their wings like eagles. Church family, the nest is fine for a season, for rest, and we all need that. Lord knows, in today's society where we've got stuff to keep everybody busy all the time, we need that rest. But eventually, we've got to get up, to get up out of that discouragement, to get up out of that negativity, to get up out of that depression, to get up out of those spiritual wounds that we've accumulated in our life and we've never let God heal them because we keep taking the scab off. The nest is a place where you get scared of change. Because eventually in your spiritual life, you'll get scared of the Spirit. Because you'll get scared of what He might do, of growth. And you think, I'm just good right here. This is my seat. Just leave me alone. I'll do what I need to do when I can. Until the shaking starts. And when it does, you'll find out that comfort isn't calling. Because you weren't made to stay perched. You were made to soar and do. And if you feel the wind is shaking your world, just remember this. You may be shaken, but you're not forsaken. He still sees you. He loves you. And He still has a purpose for you and me. So go on, get out of the nest, and fly on faith. So here's the deal. Whether you're sitting in this room or tuning in from social media or a recliner at home, I just want to invite you to respond. If you've been hanging on to dear life or something that's just familiar to you, if the ground's been shaking underneath your feet, or if you've wondered if maybe, just maybe, God's kind of lost track of where I am, I fell off God's radar, then come. come to the altar today and say, Lord, I trust you even when I am free falling. I trust you when I can't see where the wings you promised would be there are. Maybe for some, this may be your first time to step forward, or maybe you're walking back from God who never once turned his back on you. Either way, this moment, it has your name on it. It's time to get up and to let go and to surrender. Time to fall into the arms of grace that will always catch you. Take that step, just one. Let's pray.